Chapter 10, Deniability. The identity of CIA agent Valerie Plame was leaked in the days and weeks before I assumed my new responsibilities as White House Press Secretary on July 15, 2003. 2 years later, I began learning who was involved in the leak, and another 9 months after that, I learned about the secretly declassified NIE information at the same time the news media disclosed it to the whole world. To anyone unfamiliar with life in Washington, the tightly compartmentalized world of the Bush White House may seem difficult to understand. But the president's key advisors believed there were good reasons for keeping the nature of the campaign against Joe Wilson under wraps. The president and those around him agreed that in Washington's permanent campaign environment, the president was always to be shielded from the unsavory side of politics and any potential fallout resulting from it. He would stay above the fray, uninvolved in the aggressive, under-the-radar counterpunching of his advisors. He purposely chose to know little, if anything, about the tactics they employed. For this reason, Howard Baker's famous question from the Watergate era, "What did the president know, and when did he know it?" may not be the most relevant in judging the ethical behavior of the Bush administration, or indeed of any recent administration. White House staffs have learned the importance of shielding presidents from guilty knowledge. Under these circumstances, the fact that a president didn't know may not be a meaningful defense, but just another regrettable fact about how things are done in Washington. In June 2003, the campaign to undermine Joe Wilson's credibility as a critic of the White House's use of intelligence to bolster the case for war was beginning. As noted earlier, Nicholas Kristof had just published an opinion piece in the New York Times that cited an anonymous source, later identified as Joe Wilson, who accused the Bush administration of ignoring evidence that called into question some of its claims about Iraqi WMD. Then, longtime Washington Post reporter Walter Pincus published a truth-seeking follow-on story that offered details contradicting Kristof's one-sided Niger article, while still challenging the administration's credibility on the broader issue of pre-war intelligence. In early June, while making inquiries about what Kristof wrote, Pincus had contacted Kathy Martin, who oversaw the vice president's communications office. Martin went to Scooter Libby to discuss what Pincus was sniffing around about. The vice president and Libby were quietly stepping up their efforts to counter the allegations of the anonymous envoy to Niger, and Pincus's story was one opportunity for them to do just that. The vice president dictated talking points to Libby, who used them when responding to Pincus. On June 12, 2003, in CIA Did Not Share Data on Iraq Data, Pincus reported that while a CIA-directed mission to Niger had indeed challenged the uranium claim used by the president in his State of the Union speech, this information had never been given to White House officials. Instead, the CIA had failed to share what it knew, and thereby helped keep the uranium story alive, until El Baradei's report to the UN Security Council. The CIA, Pincus wrote, did not include details of the former ambassador's report and his identity as the source, which would have added to the credibility of his findings in its intelligence reports that were shared with other government agencies. Instead, the CIA only stated that Niger government officials had denied the attempted deal had taken place, a senior administration official said. An unnamed senior intelligence official reminded Pincus that the uranium intelligence was only one fact and not the reason we went to war. There was a lot more. But on the broader issue, a senior CIA analyst suggested that the whole uranium matter was indicative of larger problems about the intelligence regarding Iraq's chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons programs, as well as its reputed links to Al-Qaeda. In the lead-up to war, this analyst suggested, information not consistent with the administration agenda was discarded, and information that was consistent was not seriously scrutinized. Pincus's column fueled the growing controversy. Even as it suggested that the White House might be blameless in regard to the specific Niger claim, it strengthened the spreading belief that the administration's claims about Iraq's WMD had been based on faulty intelligence or, even worse, deliberately hyped and manipulated to mislead the nation into war. In this atmosphere of growing controversy, and with no WMD in sight anywhere in Iraq, Kristof's anonymous source, Joe Wilson, decided to go public. On Sunday, July 6th, Wilson published an opinion piece in the New York Times, What I Didn't Find in Africa. It openly accused the administration of manipulating the intelligence about Iraq's nuclear weapons program to justify military action by exaggerating or hyping the threat. After meeting with dozens of former and current government officials and people involved in the uranium business in Niger, Wilson wrote in the Times, It did not take long to conclude that it was highly doubtful that any such transaction had ever taken place. He further expressed every confidence that the information he provided was circulated to the appropriate officials within our government. Questioning how it was used by our political leadership, Wilson said that if the information was ignored because it did not fit certain preconceptions about Iraq, then a legitimate argument can be made that we went to war under false pretenses. That same day on Meet the Press, Wilson told guest host Andrea Mitchell that he was absolutely convinced that the vice president's office had received a very specific response based on his trip because it was the standard operating procedure in the case of a question raised by such a senior-level office. Judging that the administration knew full well that the uranium information was erroneous if it referred specifically to Niger, Wilson suggested that the administration had selectively used it along with other intelligence to bolster a decision to go to war that had already been made and that the use of weapons of mass destruction was a cover for some other reason to invade Iraq. Wilson's performance turned the spotlight squarely on the charge being leveled by Kristof and other critics that the Bush administration had knowingly misled the public. It further riled the vice president. It also provided the national media with a full-fledged controversy to cover, involving a colorful, outspoken character ready to level explosive charges against high-ranking officials. For the Bush administration, the timing of Wilson's assault was bad. The president was scheduled to make a major diplomatic journey to Africa, ironically, the very continent where the uranium controversy had originated. What's more, the first half of July marked the prearranged transition from Ari Fleischer to me as White House press secretary. But we all knew that even a president can't always choose how and when to respond to issues. Sometimes events outside his control demand action at inopportune times. This was one of those times. Since the president was departing that Monday, there would be only one morning briefing at the White House, an off-camera press gaggle. But the Wilson article, coupled with persistent questioning from the press that morning, would cause the White House to admit a serious mistake, something rare in any administration, and possibly more so under President Bush. Armed with updated talking points from the vice president's office, Ari Fleischer sought during the gaggle to portray the Wilson article as offering nothing new other than Wilson's identity as the envoy to Niger. Fleischer disputed the notion that Cheney and others in the administration must have known about Wilson's findings. The vice president's office did not request the mission to Niger, Fleischer said. The vice president's office was not informed of his mission, and he was not aware of Mr. Wilson's mission until news about it had been published recently. But then Fleischer inadvertently dropped a small bombshell. Now, we've long acknowledged, and this is old news, we've said this repeatedly, that the information on Yellowcake did indeed turn out to be incorrect. For those following the story closely, this was far from being old news. It was true that since the January State of the Union address, the CIA had publicly acknowledged that the Niger intelligence was based on forged documents and inaccurate. But Fleischer now appeared to suggest for the first time that the president's 16 words in the State of the Union had been based primarily on the Niger documents. Up until that point, the White House had maintained that the president's language had been deliberately broad so as to include African countries other than Niger. The reporters caught the nuance and jumped all over it. After repeated questioning led by veteran New York Times reporter David Sanger, Fleischer punted, saying he would issue a statement on the specific answer on the broader statement on the speech later in the day. Admitting that something the president had said was wrong was big news, and it would need to be discussed among senior advisors and approved by the president. Throughout the day, there was much discussion among the president's advisors on whether or not to acknowledge the obvious. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice emerged as one of the chief advocates for acknowledging a mistake, and her point of view prevailed. The White House later in the day said, There is other reporting to suggest that Iraq tried to obtain uranium from Africa. However, the information is not detailed or specific enough for us to be certain that attempts were in fact made. The NIE on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction was still not formally declassified for public consumption. although, as I was later to learn, it had secretly been declassified for the vice president's use. Although two other African countries were mentioned in the NIE as possible sources of uranium for Iraq, the only detailed or specific intelligence about Iraqi attempts to acquire uranium from Africa was related to Niger, and this was clearly the primary basis for the president's 16 words